The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In Matthew 11:28, Jesus tells all who labor and are heavy laden to come to Him for rest. Don't we need rest in this troubled world? In this encouraging sermon, Elder John Morgan Owens reminds us that we can find rest in this stress-filled world only by coming to Jesus and resting in His love and care.
If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, we'll try to be efficient with thoughts tonight. Matthew 11 and at verse 28. Now, I touched on this a little bit at Meadow Branch this morning, but I really wanted to zoom in on this specific thing that we sort of said at a passing glance. I want us to kind of zoom in on it here. So for y'all who've already heard that part, you're primed and ready maybe. Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus says this famous statement. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That to me is good news, you know. Amen. I know all of us are laboring or heavy laden in various ways, and we need rest. Not just physical rest of our bodies, you know, but it's a spiritual rest. And Jesus makes this invitation. Now, if we want to think about you know, the world considers this the great invitation where Jesus just sends this out and it's an invitation for somebody to come and to be born again, to accept this invitation and then get rest and then be saved to heaven. But notice it's addressed to a specific person. When you send out invitations to a wedding or to any other event, what's that invitation like? Well, first off, you've got it. It's addressed to somebody, right? And then within the invitation, it tells you what you're invited to. And then it also tells you usually a place to come. Otherwise, it wouldn't mean a whole lot, right? And generally, a time for it to happen. Well, here, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Who's it addressed to? It's not addressed to just anybody who wants to come. It's addressed to these people, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If you don't fit that category, if you showed up to this event, you'd be pushed away, right? You would not come to this event if you weren't one of these people. But he says, to those people who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, all right, so what's the event? Well, the event, if you will, is rest for the people of God. And what's the time constraint? When's it going to happen? Is it going to be, you know, May the 20th? Is it going to be, what date's it going to be? It's an open invitation. There's no time stamp on it. It is any time that you need rest, you can come to Him and He'll give you rest, right? Isn't that great? It's good to know that we can find that. And then He says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, it's been mentioned before, and any time somebody probably preaches on this, but a yoke is something that is normally used as a harness to strap burdens to you. And so it is in Jesus's typical fashion, he says something completely unknowable by the world. It doesn't even make sense to say that my yoke is light. But he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, how heavy is the burden that you carry? You know, we say that we don't believe that we're supposed to work our way to heaven, but yet somehow we still carry the weight of our sin on our shoulders, don't we? Maybe it's guilt for past sins. Maybe it's for some reason we feel as if since we've got those past sins in our life, and since we can't seem to move past sinning, even today, right, we think somehow that affects our relationship with your Heavenly Father, that somehow God the Father doesn't cherish you and love you the same because you've got this burden upon you. You know, there's a lot of different ways that us, even us who believe in the doctrines of grace, carry burdens and even carry sin burdens. Now, something that I want us to really focus in on this rest and how we get it and what it looks like. Let's look at Exodus 33 and verse 14. I give you the context. It's in the midst of Israel being in the wilderness, right there. It's tough times for them in the wilderness of in the Sinai Peninsula and the wilderness of sin. And as we see the direct parallels, right, as we're in the wilderness of sin today in this life. And he says to them in verse 14, he says, and he said, that being God, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You see, it's not just that you get rest. You get into the presence of God, and you'll have rest. See, if you're in God's presence, you feel at ease. You feel peace. You know, and I know that you children of God have experienced when he has visited with you before. And you feel what it feels like to suddenly not care about the burdens of this life, to not care about those things ahead of you that you dread or those things that you worry about. It just doesn't matter when he's with you, right? When you feel his hand, it doesn't matter. Now, if we go to Exodus 35, we see another teaching in Scripture, and I hope that the Lord will help us to stitch these together as we kind of go through it. But Exodus 35 and verse 2, we see a one of many times in Scripture where it teaches of the idea of the Sabbath day, a day of rest. He says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. He lays out an example of the Sabbath day, and it was a part of the law that on that day you would rest. And the example is God himself, right? That he created the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested. And he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because the work was done. And so that was a part of the law service, that you would rest on the Sabbath days. Now, we don't necessarily keep that anymore, strictly, but the concept is still there, okay? You should have a day of rest. Now, think about it this way. Not just physically, but mainly spiritually, okay? You need a day of rest. You need a day where you set aside and you guard that day and you don't allow other distractions to get in your way on that day, so that you can seek the Lord, that you can focus on Him. Because what happens when you eat what happens when you eat junk food, right? It ruins your appetite for the important meal. It ruins your appetite for those meals that are nourishing to you. Well, when you fill up your heart with all of the junk of the world, it may taste good, right? You know, that junk food, it tastes good, but it has no nutritional value. But all of a sudden, you're so full of that junk food that you don't have an appetite for those spiritual things. And so it's good to focus on having at least a day where you remove those distractions from you and you focus on that nourishing meal, that nourishing time with the Lord. And that's something that I'll confess I don't do very well. That's something that, you know, because, you know, we need a 25th hour of the day, it seems like, to fit everything in. And you keep pushing and you keep pushing. And so all of a sudden, your days are filled up. Your nights are filled up. And then where's your time with the Lord gone, right? It's just evaporated. And you go, you take a week or two like that, and then all of a sudden, you've begun to drift away from the Lord, and you look up and you wonder, you know, where am I? You know, why do I not feel this passion for the Lord that I used to feel? Well, it's because you haven't been in His presence. You haven't been taking Jesus up on that invitation to come to Him anytime and to get rest and to have that gunk of the world just dropped away for a little bit, right? And then in Deuteronomy, if you want to turn there real quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8 of Deuteronomy 12, it says, "Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes, for ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But whenever you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when He giveth you rest from all your enemies round about you, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause His name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you." He's talking about a time when they would come, when Israel would come into the promised land. He said, and then you would have rest. And then you see this rejoicing that happens when they have rest, when they're at peace. And then you see in, you know, you go to the book of Judges and you see multiple times in which the cycle is that they had peace, they had good times, and then they would begin to do what was right in their own eyes, and then they would have bad times, and then the Lord would hear them, would give them a judge, would raise up somebody who was brave, who was strong, who was willing to do the right things and correct the ship. And then again, they would have, as it says, rest. They would have peace from their enemies. Now, in Hebrews, we get to see, I like the book of Hebrews because it gives us a New Testament view on the Old Testament. It sort of peels back the curtain for us a little bit to see, you know, some of the significance of some of the Old Testament things that are happening. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, As I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, again saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? It's a long passage, but we're gonna unpack this together. Let's finish this up here. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. All right, so he's using, and specifically in Hebrews 3, but you know, I wanted Hebrews 4 here because I feel like it brings the point home a little bit. But in Hebrews 3, he's specifically talking about Israel in the wilderness. And how he said that they could get into Canaan's land, they could have had that rest if only they believed. But it was their unbelief that essentially forced them to not experience that rest. So obviously you know, but it's important for us to state it again, that Canaan's land is not an example in this sense of heaven. Okay, a lot of times people, believers of God, will take that metaphor, if you will, that allegory, they you know, of the Lord's people, which, I mean, it actually happened, but obviously it's an example to us. And they say, well, Canaan's land is heaven, and if you believe God, you'll go to heaven. But I want to remind everybody of the story of Israel. They went down into Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. You want to see the example of going to heaven? It's when God, who had placed his name on the Israelites, chose his people, redeemed them out of Egypt. He redeemed them out of bondage, just like he redeemed all of his children out of the bondage of sin. But what happens is they go out in the wilderness and they walk in that wilderness. And that's a type to us of your discipleship walk as a child of God, as someone who was already going to heaven. I mean, look, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because of his disobedience. Now, you think that God's going to use an example in which Moses is not in heaven? No, you see, the wilderness and the people who perished in the wilderness, you know, it was because of unbelief, and they lacked, they missed out on rest in this life, okay? And in the same way, your faith doesn't save you from your sins and save you to heaven, but your faith in the work of God will very much affect your enjoyment of your life, your experience of peace, your ability to rest from your works. As he says here, that as God is the example, that he rested on that seventh day because he ceased from works. And so, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So when Jesus is calling to us to this great invitation to come, all of those who are laboring or heavy laden, and to come and to receive rest, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about a place in which you come before the holy God of the universe, and your works have been cast aside. It's not about the good things you do anymore. It's not about what you want to look like in public. It's not about it's not about what you look like, what you act. It's not about any of those things. It's stripped down to just you and God. And that is a place of rest. But notice what he says here again in Hebrews 4 and verse 11. He said, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." You see, this is not being saved to heaven. This is about the work that it takes to maintain that relationship with God such that you feel that rest, okay? Now, it doesn't change one iota of the love that He has for you. You're not earning the love of God by working, by trying to serve Him, by trying to study Him, by trying to spend time with Him. You can't earn any more of His love than He's already given, which is an infinite supply of it. His grace, His tender mercies are new every morning. There is no limit to the love that God has for you. So it's not about that, okay? It's about your problems, okay? It's about our deficiencies in our mind and in our body. Y'all know that we bear the results of sin in our bodies. Y'all know that you struggle just as I do in our discipleship, in our walk with the Lord. I wish that we could just always experience the sweet depth of fellowship with Him. But we don't. We're fickle. We go back and forth. It says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." I'm telling you, child of God, if you're out there and you feel weary, you feel heavy laden, you feel like you need some rest. And I'm not talking about just physical rest. Obviously, you know, you can break your body down too from not resting. But I'm talking about spiritually. And you know, you feel the difference when you just feel tired. You know, a lot is talked in Scripture about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I already mentioned earlier about how you can mess up your hunger part, where if you fill up yourself with the snack foods of the world, right? The quick, the easy fixes of distraction from the problems that you've got, and how that will make it so that you're not hungry necessarily for the Word of God. Well, you know, one of the quickest ways to not be hungry is to just be too tired. You know, you ever been so tired that you're just not hungry? You know, you're just like, I'm gonna sleep first, then I'll eat later. I've been there before. Now, different people are different. You know, some people, hunger is the most important thing for them. And I won't name those people to you. You know who I'm talking about. But to me, at least, and I think it's probably the case with many people, is that if you just get too beat down tired, you're not hungry anymore. Well, imagine that spiritually. Imagine that you spent way too long away from your Master, and trying to work up your own works. Maybe you're not thinking that you're trying to work your way to heaven. Maybe you're just doing things. Maybe it's for ego. Maybe it's for pride. I don't know. But then all of a sudden you look up and you're just tired spiritually, and you need that rest. And you know that the answer is to seek God, to study His Word, but you're just not hungry for the Word because you're too tired. You know, look, you're not the only one that's ever felt that way, okay? We all feel that way from time to time. And that's why that verse 11 is there, okay? It says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." Sometimes it's going to take more work than you're wanting it to be at the time to seek the Lord and to go back to His presence. But if you push through it, the second that your Savior walks into that room with you, it's going to be all worth it, right? You know, the example that I used this morning at Meadow Branch, and I think it's a good one, is, you know, when the sun comes out in the day, you know, the stars didn't go away somewhere. They didn't roll around to the backside of the planet. They're still out there. It's just that the sun is so bright that you can't see them anymore. It just washes it all out in a sea of light, right? In the same way, when all of your little problems, all your little nagging problems and your spiritual deficiencies and the problems that you've got, all of those things are just nagging at you. They're just there. But when God walks on the scene, it overshadows all of it, right? And so our focus ought to be in being in His presence as much as we possibly can be. And so again, we go back to close, and we go back to Jesus' statement in Matthew 11, where He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." The invitation is to you. It's addressed to those who labor and are heavy laden. You know, it's not to just every person. You got to be alive first in order to experience that labor and heavy laden. You know, there's people out in the world who are not born again, reprobates, who experience stress and burnout and all these things that are attributed to their physiological health, right? You can experience stress and all those other kind of things. What He's talking about here is different, okay? It is a spiritual desire for rest, and that is something that you only see in people who are already alive. You don't cry out, "Abba, Father," without that spirit within you already knowing that you're one of His children. And so the invitation is to you. And the invitation is open any time you need it, any time that you want it. It's incredible to think that we take it for granted the fact that we have a purchased line of access straight into the throne room of God, just as righteous and as holy and as perfect and as lovely as He is. But yet for some reason, He would keep an open line of access for us anytime we need it. You know, you can't get the White House anytime you need it. You can't get the governor's mansion. You can't get your mayor. You can't get anybody to help you like that. But your God is listening and ready to talk to you and ready to visit with you. That's in any time of the night, any time of the day. "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." I mean, can you imagine being in the yoke with Christ? You know, there was I probably have shared this before. We used to push the sleds as a football exercise. I don't know if Brother Asher, if y'all did any of that. But they had this little two-man sled. And, you know, that could be a really horrible experience for you if you had the wrong partner, okay? If you had a real weak partner, or maybe you were slightly, you know, if you were different sizes or something, it would swivel around instead of being pushed, and it would make it extra difficult on you. There's a couple times where I got in with this little scrawny guy. You know, I'm scrawny, but he was like scrawny, you know. And it was so much effort, so much work. So then me and this guy, they were about the same strength level and height and everything. We paired up, and every time that came along and that was what we were supposed to do, we like found each other, you know, and we did it together. And it was just easier that way, you know. I mean, it still hurt and everything, but it was just easier when we were together. You know, you're trying to push through this life, all the garbage in your life and all of the distractions and all of the burdens that you've got to bear. And if you're out there just laboring, trying to push that sled by yourself, you know, Jesus is right there. You can just jump in the yoke with Him. Now, you're not evenly matched strength-wise, But that's okay, because he's strong enough for the both of us, right? He's strong enough to handle it. He's strong enough to handle whatever you've got. And so why would we try to figure things out on our own? Why would we distance ourselves from God? Maybe, I know that it's sometimes inadvertent, but I'm asking myself, I'm asking us to labor, to view our relationship with God as one of our jobs. We've got to work it. We've got to work it, and it will be blessed. To be in His presence would make everything else in your life easier, to be in that yoke with Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.